It is the big and potentially worrying news of the day that our inflation struggles are not over yet. 2024 had been earmarked as the year our problems could be over, but prices just haven't played ball to now. Inflation rose 1% across the March quarter, up from 0.6% previously, and annualised well above the target. Year on year, headline inflation is now sitting at 3.6%, which, while down from 4.1% in the previous quarter, is showing signs of incredible stickiness. It was the usual suspects doing the damage too, with education, health, housing and food and beverages all shooting up in the quarter. Undersupply in the rental market is still hurting, responsible for price rises of 2.1% in the quarter alone. It is a timely print as well. In just under 2 weeks, the Reserve Bank will deliver its next deliberation on interest rates, and while the last meeting the tone had shifted bias, could we be back to seeing the threat of rate hikes included in the language after this result? Also under pressure to do something is Federal Treasurer Jim Chalmers, who delivers the budget the following week. With Stage 3 tax cut changes already factored in for the next financial year, political analysts have been expecting a voter-friendly budget laden with cost-of-living incentives for punters. That might have to change now too, but the Treasurer says his government is already helping.
What we saw today in the inflation numbers is that the government's economic plan is putting downward pressure on inflation. Took something like half a percentage point off inflation because of the combination of our energy plan, our policies in early childhood education and our rent assistance as well. And what that tells us is that it's possible to design cost of living help in a way that takes the edge off inflationary pressures in our economy rather than add to them.
So who has to blink first, Jim Chalmers or Michelle Bullock? Joining me to answer that and many more questions is Managing Director of EQ Economics, Warren Hogan. Warren, welcome back to Money News.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be with you.
Warren, not the direction we hope for today with inflation. Would we? What's the expectation about where we're headed, and are you concerned?
Yeah, they weren't good numbers. The headline numbers coming down, but we look into the detail, and it's this domestic inflation that's still sticky, stubborn, persistent. You name it, it doesn't seem to be going away. In fact, there's one measure called, the ABS calls it, non-tradables inflation. It rose 1.5% in the quarter. That's a 6% annualised pace. But my assessment is domestic inflation is running at around 4 to 4.5% and showing no signs of really coming down. So what we've got is a situation where the big fall in inflation we've seen has largely been because of that original pandemic shock washing out of the numbers. That is goods inflation coming back down towards zero. And it's the domestic, more services inflation, which is proving sticky. And that's, of course, what the RBA has a fight with. That's what they can, well, that's what they have to deal with, is that domestic inflation. And so the outcome really is it's looking less likely that inflation is heading down to target. It doesn't mean it won't, but at the moment, it's not looking great.
Yeah, Warren, you've long advocated for the Reserve Bank to go harder with its rate tightening than it has. Is this the chickens coming home to roost today?
Oh, it's totally. I mean, the whole narrative in this country for the last 2 years has been utterly misguided, from commentators and markets through to the political leadership. Underestimating inflation is about the silliest thing you can do when it comes to the overall economy. It is the evil that destroys people's living standards, ruins the efficiency of the economy, and can end in absolute disaster, as we saw in 1991. So, look, the reality is that these numbers suggest that the RBA hasn't got the cash rate up enough. We never went up as much as the other countries like us. They all went above 5. We were hoping that because we've got so many variable mortgages, the shock of 425 basis points of rate hikes would knock the economy off its perch and get the job done on inflation. Well, almost 2 years down the track, we're actually seeing signs of the economy improving in the last few months. So that's telling us that that strategy didn't work, and we're probably going to have to take our interest rate up to the same levels as these other central banks.
Well, that's leading into my next question, Warren, because, you know, this result will kill off potentially a rate cut hope for 2024, but what are the chances percentage-wise of rate increases? Might that be the way we go next?
Yeah, look, we're looking at this now. The main factor for me is actually the fact the economy is looking better this year. The consumer slowdown of last year, and that was the whole slowdown. There was all that pressure brought on consumers by inflation, the bracket creep and rising income tax burden. Interest rates actually played quite a marginal role. very severe role for some people, but for most Australians it was taxes and inflation that hurt them, caused them to tighten their belts, consumer spending slowed, but the business community is actually holding up pretty well. Our exports are doing well, and we've got an infrastructure boom going on across the eastern seaboard. So this is what worries me, is that if the economy starts to pick up, if consumers start to loosen their purse strings a bit, we know jobs are coming through. We know we've got tax cuts coming on 1 July. So that's really the story for me. And I think the market's already starting to shift. We saw a big move in money markets. We're seeing economists change their view from rate cuts. I think it's moving above 50% now that we're going to get a rate hike this year.
The RBA's bias has changed in their last few statements. Its next meeting is in 2 weeks. So does it switch back after today?
The RBA's done, I think, a pretty good job. Michelle Bullock emphasised, we're not ruling anything in or out. This is in the context where most commentators are saying they should be cutting rates by May or June or July. So she didn't want to sort of, you know, give them the middle finger. But at the same time, she just stayed balanced. And, of course, this is why she did it. I think their communication, which we get, we're not going to move rates in May. I mean, I think they probably should, but they won't. I think she's going to come out and tell us that, look, the risks have shifted, and lay the groundwork. Now, I think that the atmosphere, the general politics is so fraught around rate hikes that they're not going to do it unless it's so abundantly clear to all and sundry, which probably means it doesn't happen till later. Unfortunately, it may mean we have to do more, because we're not ahead of the game. But we haven't been ahead of the game since the sort of initial stages of this tightening cycle in 2022.
How much more can we squeeze out of mortgage holders? Surely they can't cut back on their day-to-day spending anymore to get to these levels needed for a 2 to 3% figure.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, this is why the talk of rate cuts was so dangerous, because, you know, you don't want to send this signal to people. If you just make it through the next 6 months, you'll be okay. I mean, this is why the higher for longer, you have to get used to this being the new normal, was so important. Because if people are under commitments that just make their life a misery, or that they can't sustain, then they need to make decisions. And we all know the quicker you make decisions, the better you're off you're going to be. And we've seen the housing market perform pretty well. There's liquidity and the prices are good. So look, people have to make decisions. And I think we're going to see some of that in the next 6 to 9 months. And, you know, hopefully people can sort of get back onto a more sustainable footing. But the reality is that, you know, 30% of Australians have mortgages, and probably only a third of those have real problems. There's many Australians who are benefiting from higher rates. Monetary policy just has to be set for the circumstances. And it just looks like the current level of the cash rate's not the right one. And there's nothing we can do about that unless we want to live with this cost of living pressure forever.
Well, Warren, you're saying there's nothing we can do about it. Well, what do you make of Jim Chalmers' suggestion that what his government is doing is still helpful? Like, obviously it can't be a long-term strategy to subsidise our way through inflation. And, you know, does he have to seriously think about cuts in the upcoming budget?
Look, the budget's pretty much done. They'll be able to make some adjustments in the next few weeks. But they missed their opportunity to take this inflation problem seriously at the start of their term. They should have been looking at doing something a bit more significant on cutting back on government spending back then, and putting pressure on the states to do the same. To be fair, they've been disciplined. And, you know, the thing is that this is a pre-election budget. They probably need to maintain that discipline. But the reality is what they do now is they're pretty much passengers from here. They missed their opportunity back in, you know, at the start of their term, late 22, early 23.
Finally, Warren, looking ahead, are we in for a winter of national austerity?
Well, for some people, for sure. That's going to continue. But the reality is we're creating 25,000 new jobs a month. Wages are now rising at over 4%. Household income growth is coming back again because those pressures seem to be easing. We're getting tax cuts coming through. So, you know, this is the point people miss. The economy is actually doing pretty well. We've got significant capacity constraints, so we can only grow so much. And this is the whole point. We've got to sort of temper that growth in order to take that pressure off inflation. So, look, I actually think this is going to be fine the next 6 months. I don't think if they do hike rates, it'll happen until later in the year. It's next summer that's probably going to be the squeeze point. And next year, the real repercussions for the economy will play out, in my view.
Warren Hogan, Managing Director of EQ Economics, thank you so much for joining me on this Wednesday evening on Money News.
Fantastic. Thanks for having me on the show.
And that inflation news saw Westpac update its cash rate forecast, moving their expectation of the first cash rate cut to November 2024. ANZ and the NAB are unchanged, with the same forecast of November 2024 for that first RBA cut. CBA a little bit more optimistic, expecting that first cash rate cut to come in September. So there you go, 131873. When do you think the RBA will move? I'm interested, but Warren Hogan's pretty adamant that 2024 is going to have nothing for mortgage holders.